Grace and peace in Jesus. As Jesus said, he stood at the door of the night of the Laodicean church and knocked. So he knocks on the door of our heart tonight that we might dine with him. Now we look at the last of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, tonight the church of Laodicea. We look at this church as we have looked at all the others so that we might look at ourselves and learn something about our own Christian faith and life. Above everything else this church was noted for, the church at Laodicea was noted for its spiritual apathy. This community of Christians at Laodicea had clearly lost their zeal for Jesus Christ. And Jesus would chastise them for their lukewarm and half-hearted faith. Now I would like you to juxtapose their apathy with the fervent love and the faithfulness that we see our Lord show on the night he was betrayed, not only to his disciples, but to all future generations of Christians. For on this night, Jesus would give to his church the most precious gift of his body and blood. He would give his sacrament. He would give his supper. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus gave a gift that would perpetually forgive our sins and strengthen our faith. The Lord's Supper, then, is the antidote to spiritual apathy. His body given, his blood shed, is the cure whenever we are spiritually indifferent to God. Let's explore for just a moment that contrast between our own unfaithfulness to God, represented in the Church of Laodicea, and God's faithfulness to us as we see him institute the Lord's Supper for the strengthening of our faith. And God willing, I think what we will see is what causes both Christian complacency and Christian fervency as we weave our way back and forth between these two texts of John's Revelation and John's Gospel. Now, we're not explicitly told what caused such indifference to Christ and the Christian faith within this church of Laodicea. But based upon Scripture, I have a few theories about their spiritual malaise. I've been in congregations like the one in Laodicea, and I understand a little bit about the spiritual dynamics that may have created such ambivalence towards the gospel in people who were supposed to be Christians. Based upon what we know of this congregation, and based upon what the Bible tells us about how people are motivated either by the law or the gospel, I think we can make some inferences about what was the source of this spiritual lethargy. Now, almost every congregation in the first century started from a core group of Jewish believers who became Christians once they came to believe that Jesus was the promised Christ of the Old Testament, that Jesus is Lord. And it was this core group of Jewish Christians who would have become the nucleus for just about every Christian house church that sprang up throughout the apostolic age. And although the Old Testament and New Testament alike teach that we are saved purely by God's mercy through Christ instead of our works, Judaism departed from that teaching and went in a completely different direction. If you were a first century Jew, you would have misunderstood God's reason for giving you the law. These Jews, raised in the synagogue prior to their conversion to Christianity, would have been taught, like all good Jews, that God accepted them on the basis of their own moral performance. They would have assumed that salvation came by their own keeping of the law. They were so schooled and so steeped in the Ten Commandments that this was just an ingrained assumption until the apostles came along, preaching the good news of God's free forgiveness and of His undeserved grace, which is ours in Christ. Until then, these Jews had lived under the opinion that the law is what saves. For them, salvation was not about the coming of the Christ. It was about their own moral code and conduct. But since keeping the whole law of God is impossible for sinners, it's easy to see how these people would have grown despondent, how they would have grown apathetic and just gotten tired of religion. In fact, if you think about it, there is nothing that makes a person more apathetic towards God than to realize that he has no way to please God. Repeatedly, the Jews attempted to obey God's laws, and repeatedly, they failed at it. And this kind of repeated failure is a recipe for apathy in any context. For when people realize they can't please someone in their life, what do? They just give up. They stop caring. And so when these people who were living under the law realized that they could not please God by keeping His laws, they just gave up. They stopped trying to please God altogether. And so that is one very possible explanation for the apathy that we see in this congregation at Laodicea, that the Christians there had completely forgotten the gospel. Forgetting God's grace in Christ, they reverted back to their former way of life, and they became spiritually dejected and despondent because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so really the cause of their apathy could have been as simple as their forgetting that truth of Christ which sets us free, so that they slipped back under the law and under its judgments and under its condemnation. Now, that same formula for apathy still affects us Christians today. If we as Christians become lazy about hearing the gospel proclaimed, about studying the word of God's grace, what we are in effect doing is taking our eyes off of Jesus. And once this happens, because of the old sinful unbelief in our own hearts, we can quickly forget the grace of God in Christ, and we revert back to our old self-righteous assumptions that come from an unbelieving heart. We become apathetic when we forget that we have a gracious God because of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to think or assume that it is we who must do something to earn all of God's blessings, including salvation. By lapsing back under the law, by being forced to listen again to the law's condemnation of us, we lose energy for God. We lose enthusiasm for the faith. And if this goes on long enough, we are severed from Christ. And the sad result of all of this is our love for God and our interest in the Christian faith can grow cold. Like a corpse, our faith can assume room temperature. We become lukewarm when we are only going through the motions of faith and the rituals of worship without any real passion for Christ. There is, however, another possibility for their spiritual apathy. There is a distinct possibility that this is what went wrong in the church of Laodicea. These Jews, before they became Christians, had been taught all their lives that they must be saved through their own efforts. They must placate a God who they had angered because of their sins. And so when they failed in that, it left them empty of any real spirituality. It left them without God. It left them without hope. And it left them hungry for the gospel. And so when they heard the good news of Jesus Christ for the first time, they literally ate it up. You see, the law had made them hungry for God's love. It had made them thirsty for His forgiveness. And my friends in Christ, isn't that the same hunger and thirst for Christ's righteousness that brings us out tonight, that brings us to the Lord's table this evening? In the first century, the apostles went from synagogue to synagogue functioning as missionaries. They were teaching their Jewish brothers that Jesus was the answer of the scriptures and that He had achieved for them what they had failed to do themselves. And so the apostles would joyously proclaim the gospel that the Son of God had taken upon Himself the punishment for their sins and for ours. And at last, these people who had been living in bondage heard this good news that Jesus had already done for them what none of them could have ever done for themselves under that law. Jesus had achieved salvation for them, for us, and for all by His painful cross and by His glorious resurrection. Because these Jews had only known God in the past as a strict lawgiver and judge to be feared, you can imagine how their hearts were overjoyed to hear of God's kindness in sending His Son to die in their place. Now, with such a beautiful start to their relationship with the Lord, you have to ask, what happened to this congregation in Laodicea? Why would their congregational apathy become so rampant and reach the point that the Lord Himself would see the need to personally intervene from heaven? In fact, never in the Bible do we hear any harsher words of condemnation spoken by Jesus to His own people than the words He addresses to this apathetic church. He says to them, "I know your deeds, and they are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Now, in our first scenario, I speculated that apathy possibly set in when the members of this congregation in Laodicea forgot the gospel. And that's possible. But there is another possibility. There's the possibility that they forgot the law, that they no longer took the law seriously once they had heard that Jesus had died for their sins and transgressions against the law. Now, you would expect people who had been set free by Jesus from the condemnation of the law to become fervent for the Lord, on fire for the Lord. You would think that their lives would overflow with thankfulness for the redemption that was purchased with His blood for them. You would think that it would have spurred them on to love and good deeds, but it didn't. In fact, they were very proud of themselves. And yet Jesus will say to this church that He found their works very incomplete. And so I offer another possibility for why something went wrong in their faith. Perhaps these Christians in Laodicea became complacent about faith and forgiveness, not because they had forgotten the gospel, but because they had forgotten and set aside God's law. For while Christ died for our sins, This does not give any Christian the right to continue to commit sins and to live in sins. Yes, the law has been fulfilled by Christ, but the law has not been abolished. The law still needs to be said to Christians because of the sin that lives in us. Our old sinful nature constantly needs reminded that no gossip, no hater, no drunkard, no immoral person who continues to live in sin, even if they call themselves a Christian, will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so if we forget the law or ignore the law, what ends up happening is the gospel of forgiveness loses its meaning and its relevance. Jesus told the church that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And my friends, there is a huge difference. If Jesus abolished the law, he would simply have made the keeping of the law unimportant. Sins would have simply been ignored by God, and there would have not been a payment necessary on the cross. If Christ had simply abolished the law, then the law would be irrelevant now to us Christians. It wouldn't matter how we lived or what we did. But the fact that Jesus obeyed the law, the fact that he suffered so and died for our disobedience to the law, doesn't only show that we're forgiven from the law, but it also shows just how important is the law. Yes, Jesus freed us from the condemnation of the law, and we should rejoice daily because of it. But he never intended to free us from any accountability to it. Jesus didn't just die to get God off our back so that we could go on apathetically ignoring God in our life and return to our old ways of sinning. But my friends, in Christ, a real faith in Jesus results in a real change in our lives, which includes a zeal for Jesus. We live by faith in the gospel, which in turn produces in us a holy zeal for Christ. This is what inspires Christian obedience in our lives. My spiritual hunch is that this congregation in Laodicea forgot the importance of the gospel because it forgot the importance of the law. And I worry about this because I see this happening in the church of our day. Our culture has all but erased the notion of sin from its collective consciousness. Virtually no one in society believes anymore that human behaviors should be viewed as sins. And in a culture where there is no recognition of our sins and God's wrath, there's no interest in having a savior from sin. In a culture without sin, Christ's effort on the cross simply isn't appreciated or felt like it's needed. And I believe this is the cause of most apathy in the modern church. For being influenced by our unbelieving environment, we too, as Christians, have often forgotten the law, and we have failed to wrestle with that in our own conscience. Martin Luther dealt with this same kind of spiritual apathy in his day. He was giving advice to those who had become apathetic about going to the sacrament. They were apathetic of their need to receive Christ in the sacrament with any kind of frequency. And here's the advice he gave to them. He said, first, I want you to take your hand, and I want you to put it up to your heart and see if it's still beating. For Luther explained that as long as we are living and breathing Christians in this world, we always have a need for the gospel and the comfort of the gospel found in the Lord's Supper. For until our day when our heart stops beating and we die, Luther said the devil and the world and our own flesh are always opposing our faith and our conscience. The only positive that comes out of this, it is our guilt and our fears and our lack of faith is what creates our need for the sacrament, our hunger and thirst for the sacrament. I just don't understand how people who are under spiritual assault constantly can become complacent. If you realize that the devil and the world and our own sinful nature wish to rip Christ from our hearts, it should make us ever more fervent and zealous in our desire to hear the gospel and to receive the sacrament and to cling to his cross. And so the cure for spiritual apathy begins by not forgetting the gospel, by not ignoring the law, and by realizing that our enemies are not apathetic. They are relentless as they attack our faith. My prayer is that God would restore our zeal for Christ and his gospel in these latter days as we receive within ourselves this most precious food from heaven as we step forward to the altar tonight to receive his own body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. This, friends, is the antidote for apathy. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.